Now it's time for the Sports Showcase with Bernie Goin here on WLQI. The Sports Showcase here at SP19 American Kitchen in DeMott is brought to you by Alliance Bank, CR Repair, Emerson Sondergrath, Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances, Reinforcement Design, RMT Transport, State Street Title, Suburban Propane, and of course, SP19 American Kitchen. Now it's time for the Sports Showcase with Bernie Goin on WLQI.
And we are live from the SP19 restaurant in beautiful DeMont, Indiana, from the Sandy Pines Golf Course here on WLQI97.7.com. This is the Sports Showcase, and I'm Bernie Goin now sitting in with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Bombers, Lady Bombers, Coach Russ Racky. Coach, how are you this morning?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
Not too bad. More relieved that you're here.
We'll get right to it.
Tuesday, I think you summed it up best when you said, and I mean, I think I love that you guys are physical. I love basketball teams out there that get physical and that just aren't finessed, especially the way things are. But there's a fine line, too, between being physical and just being over-assertive out there. And you said you guys just got to quit the fouling out there. And that would be a good assessment because that really helped let that one slip away.
Yeah, and like I said, the past couple games we played, it's been that same message to the girls the entire time. We've just got to quit fouling, and that is part of, you know, my style of coaching, the way I play, my coaching staff, the way we do, we're very aggressive. We want to be up in your face style, but there's a way to do it. And, you know, we're still working with these girls to get them to buy into what we're saying. And being aggressive doesn't mean bringing the hammer down. Being aggressive doesn't mean reaching in and trying to get every steal and going down a Shinalea. Being aggressive and being in the right place at the right time in the rotations and frustrating people to the point where they want to be taken out of the game, or they're pulling on their shorts or their jersey out of frustration, or, you know, they're jawing back and forth at their teammates because they're frustrated with our pressure. That's what we're trying to get out of the girls. And then when you do that, the steals will come. You know, the open shots will come from that. And that's what's fun about, you know, doing things the right way, because then you're able to smile and laugh and have a good time with each other instead of sitting on the bench beside Coach Van Meter and Coach Manns for a quarter of a game. You know, as a player, I hated sitting on the bench. I hated to come out of the game. And I think these girls are starting to figure that out, that I don't like sitting on the bench, so I better do what Coach says or I'm going to be sitting over here. And what I did reiterate with them this week is, I don't want you playing soft. If I see you playing soft, because you don't want to foul, or you don't want to get it sitting out of the game, then you're going to come out anyway and just sit out until you get things figured out. So hopefully we've done some things this week to try to reiterate the fact that you can't foul, that you need to play with your feet and have active hands and you know, reach the correct hand and you know, do some better things that we need to get better at and to fix the problem. Because, you know, going ahead in our season, there could be some games if we start fouling like that. It could be a long game for us, especially when we get into conference play, playing against BCs, playing against CC, playing against West Lafayette, playing against Twin Lakes. That if you reach like that, they're going to make you pay, and you know, we have to get over that.
And we'll get to that in a few minutes. Yeah, down the road, it's not too easy for you guys. One thing I did like though in this last game, you guys were down by, I think, 12 points at one point, cut it down to 3 going into the half. And then, I mean, you guys were able to take the lead, had it there again for the tanking down the stretch. But the fight you guys had out there, despite being, you know, kind of held back with those fouls early on, you know, they were in the bonus in the first quarter, and that's really a tough thing to overcome. You guys were able to do it, and you were this close. I mean, again, at least, you know, if there's not a penalty in terms of missing the playoffs or that, I mean, it still sucks, but at least losing a game like that later on, I think down the stretch, when you clean things up, it'll be a game you guys win probably comfortably.
Yeah, I was very pleased. For some reason, I don't know why these girls want to start out in the hole. I kind of told them, I said, I want to start out on top and, you know, keep going in that direction. And I think they want to see how much gray hair or how much hair they want to cause me to lose in the entire process, or how many migraines I can get, or how many frustration things we can get through, because they have the capability. These girls, and I hope everybody listening, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. My girls are a very good team. They are very athletic, very explosive. They love playing the game, and we're just trying to get through some hiccups here a little bit, some immaturity, some injuries, getting people back in shape the way they need to be, getting everybody in shape the way they need to be, because I think we're far from the capability of what these girls are able to do. And we had a good summer, but summer's over. We've got to focus on what we have here to do now and have to adjust the game. In summertime, you're able to get away with some of these things that we've gotten away with and during the summer. Now, when you're in season, you have to adjust the way the official's calling the game, good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. If you think you fouled, it doesn't matter. He called it, so, or she called it. You have to adjust to that. And we didn't give up. I like the fact that we didn't give up and we're down by 10 and or 12 there, and we didn't just say, oh, well, we're done. No, they stepped it up and found another level there. And the ball goes in a few more times. We knock down some free throws, and we're talking about a different thing here. But it's something we got to learn, and hopefully the girls are learning those lessons.
Well, Coach, in that game, it looked like relatively, for the most part, came out healthy. How is it shaping up for this game? Still, your girls still coming around, kind of getting more into shape there? Any other injuries to speak of?
So, we were talking with our AD yesterday, and it's like a walking dead around my practice yesterday. If you look at who we have about 8 girls that were out, basically, are on the mend between that 8 girls. So I've lost, Kenzie Moore went out with a concussion out of that North White game. So she's out still. We got confirmation of that yesterday. She went to the doctor. Kenzie Goodman's working her way back in the stages and levels of concussion protocol. So she's not expected to play tonight. Sydney Van Meter in practice and rolls her ankle.
Oh.
So she's already at a disadvantage with that knee, and then rolls the ankle. So she's not at close to being where she was at. So she didn't practice the other day. She practiced yesterday, got up and down the floor, but you can still tell it's kind of tender on her and that ankle. Jesse Ringen is getting better, getting stronger. Morgan Van Meter still fighting with that back and trying to get herself back in shape. So still got some things there. Lexi Healy came out, a couple games, and she got a shoulder injury that's bothering her pretty bad. And so I don't know how much play she'll have tonight in that limited play, and her ability to be aggressive up top on our press. So she's still struggling there. And then, Addie Kaike's been battling an injury, and now it's went to her arches and her feet. So, she's battling that. And then one of our freshmen rolled her ankle, Elizabeth Knoth. So she's not going to be able to play tonight for the JV. So, yeah, it was, needless to say, yesterday's practice, I was just kind of taking inventory of what we can possibly do. And it just goes back to that next man up. Somebody else has got to step up until, we get healthy and get people where they need to be at. And, you know, the scary thing is, even with all those girls and the injuries and working back and forth on things, we are still very talented. I still have a lot of talent on that bench. It's just the fact these young girls have to have the confidence to be able to step up and say, I can handle this until, so-and-so is better. Then we can move things around. And it's just that mentality, next man up, and getting ready to do what we have to do and put the best team on the floor.
And this is a sports showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Bynum's Golf Course in beautiful but chilly DeMond, Indiana. Bernie Gowen here with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Lady Girls Basketball Squad, Coach Russ Wacky. All right, Coach, still, you got to show up till tonight, Saturday, make that long bus ride up to, well, not as long for you guys, but up to Tri-County. And they got a pretty good ball club there. Saw them on Thursday night. They got a player to talk about getting your guys in foul trouble, and Maddie Munster, who's 5'6", only a junior. She's a load down there. That's somebody I'm sure you guys have focused on kind of when you've seen the film. And, you know, they got a pretty good ball club there. Emma Michael had almost 20 points on Thursday night. So, I mean, they're not going to feel bad for you as, you know, the competition there. They'll be looking to maybe pounce out there. So you guys got to be ready.
Oh, absolutely. They're on a roll right now. And you know, they're going to come, and we're going to go to their place, and they're going to give us everything we can handle and more. And they're going to try to take one from us here. And you know, they're going to push our limits as far as what we're able to do. And you know, good, bad, or different, we have to show up. The girls know that. We have to be ready for whatever they might throw at us, whether it's a zone or man, and be able to handle their runs and weather the storms. And, you know, at their place, I'm sure they're feeling pretty confident in their shots. And when you play at home, it has a tendency to have, you know, shots go up. And normally when they wouldn't go in at other places at home, they have a tendency to be a little more familiar for you, a little more friendly for you. So we're going to have to go and be ready to play and you know, not take it lightly. We have to show up, and not just show up, but put forth an effort that, you know, we can sustain and get the job done, because they're going to work us. They're going to be physical. It's going to be hopefully up and down the floor, which would favor us, I would think. You know, we have to be ready to play.
Well, the one thing for you guys coming forward, though, if you didn't get through this game, you have about a week, almost 2 weeks off to kind of be able to get your girls rested over the holiday break, hopefully get those bodies finally healthy going into December. But then you guys are going to need it coming out of there. Some tough games coming out of this stretch. First of all, playing, I believe, the Winnemac Warriors coming out of there. Then, you know, it's not going to be too much easier. You got to go all the way up to Griffith the following, or 2 nights later, to play a pretty good Lady Panther squad. And then what a test you guys have that following Tuesday, the 3A runner of the Benton Central Bison. And it'll be your first guys' first conference game out there. Mm-hmm. So kind of a double whammy out there. I mean, the three games right out of the bat there that are going to be really, really tough for you guys out there. And I mean, I think you'll need those 2 weeks to kind of get ready for that.
Yeah, it's this part of our schedule. You know, you play Griffith, and then you come back on Tuesday. So you basically, we get one day really to, and because I don't look ahead of to any other team. We focus on that team at a time, and some coaches may be a little bit different. Yes, we do things that will go into that, but you know, we play Tuesday night against BC. It's, you're right. We'll take a couple days off here, Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, let the girls heal up, but we got to get back to work. Winnemac is a formidable opponent. They're a sectional opponent, another sectional opponent that we could possibly face. And later on down the road, and you know, they're playing really well right now. They beat North White, the other night by a couple points, at Winnemac. So, we have to be ready to play. We have to be ready to go. That was a game last year, the Winnemac game, that I felt we let get away from us, because we, again, was one of those situations where we had them and just let it get away with us down the line. So, you know, Coach Croft is going to have his girls ready to play. They're going to be very physical. They're going to be very quick. They're going to press us. Majority of the game, they'll be up in our faces. So we have to be able to handle that press, which that does help us get ready for a BC game, but still, Griffith has got some good players on them as well. So it doesn't get any easier for us. Yes, it's going to be nice to have some days to work on some things to get some of these girls healthy. But we can't relax. We've got to start mentally and physically pushing ourselves to get to where we need to be at, so that way when we get to the conference play, we're you know, performing at a good level, and then continue on from there. But you know, it will be nice to have Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving off to give these girls a chance to spend some time with their families first off, and then second of all, maybe get some rest and some healing in that body, and You know, we're very tough on them in practice. The other day after that loss to North White, the practice the following day wasn't a very pleasant one for the girls. And it wasn't that because we lost. It's because we had to go to work. We had to do some things, and part of that is we got to get in better shape, I think. And so we did some more running, and sure, there was some groping and moaning and complaining, but we got to get past that mental part of the game, and it's just something that the girls are understand, especially my seniors. They get it. They understand why I do what I do. They don't question those things, so they're doing a very good job in that locker room, telling the girls, trust the process. He knows what he's doing. He knows, you know, you're not going to die. You're going to survive. Everything is going to be fine. You know, we've done this for 4 years with him, and there is a plan here. There is a focus. We just have to follow what our coach tells us to do and not have negative attitudes about it and just do what he asks us to do, and the outcome will be good for us.
Well, I can say as some advice for your girls, at least you're nice and didn't call them in at 8:30 the following Friday after Thanksgiving, after loading up. And we had a coach who would sit there and tell us, don't do what I'm going to do. You got to love as a player when coaches say, don't do what I'm going to do. Lay around all day and eat. Don't you guys do that, because tomorrow, you know, we got a game, or a couple of times we had a practice at the end of the day after. He'd be like, all right, now we're just going to run until we basically pass out because my coach made us do that. I'm like, thanks. I'm like, yeah. You guys, I mean, give them that day off so they don't have to, you know, they can enjoy Thanksgiving. I think, oh, great, I got practice.
And the thing is with that, I ask a lot of these girls, and through the summer, the whole month of June, I ask them to give me every day other than Sunday. You know, give me every day you have. And then during when season starts, you know, we're going nonstop, 2 hours. You know, if we have late practice, it's an hour and a half because I try to get them home a little bit. But I also try to give back to them. I try to give them that chance to spend some time with their families, to spend some time just away from me. Not that I don't want them with me all the time, but, you know, it's hard to listen to me nonstop. And I get it. I understand that I'm not the easiest guy to play for because I demand a lot. I expect a lot. So I understand that part. So me giving them some time back is part of the relationship that I have with them, because I do get it. I'm not stupid. I do get the fact that these kids do need to be with their families. They do need to be sometimes alone by themselves a little bit, or with their younger siblings, to just hang out with their family and stay in touch with themselves a little bit more. And, you know, it's not just about basketball. It's about the kid as a whole. You know, we're trying to groom these young ladies into good members of society, making an impact in their society and their lives and their families and whoever they come in contact with. So that way, later on down the line, if I run into them, or, you know, they see me, we can still say, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And, yeah, I remember the times you about made me run until I about puked or I thought I was going to die, but I got through it. And so these things in my life, when the doctors or whoever might give us a bad outcome, we can push through these things and learn from these lessons.
Well, Coach, so next week you guys will have some days off. Will that be all the week spent preparing for Winnemac, or will it be more kind of getting back to some preseason there, a little bit working on the fundamentals?
Yeah, there's some things because of the way our schedule has been laid out of game in these past couple of days, that we haven't really got a chance to, you know, get into some of the more of the fundamental things that I like to do. And so we'll get back to some of the basics. We'll start focusing on Winnemac and what they want us to do. But we'll really start hitting some of the basic things, getting a lot of shots up, you know, working on that defensive philosophy that we have, and just continue to fine-tune those things. You know, giving the girls a chance to say, hey, I still have a question over this. You know, we'll still watch film, sit down, look at those things. And then we'll also focus on situations a whole lot more. With our practices and things, we haven't been able to do that. I like to do those situations so that when we come to a game like we did the other night and I draw up a play, we're all on the same page. It's unfortunate at times that, you know, those you try to pick and choose what's important at this certain point in time in your practice schedule because of the game situations and the schedule that's laid out there. So, you know, hopefully with the next couple of days we'll have off after this game tonight. You know, we can get back to the things we were doing before. But, you know, our focus right now is tonight and taking care of business tonight. And the plan is to come out of Tri-County with a win and being able to start focusing on Winamac. But we've got to be ready to go today. And we'll bring the girls in here in this afternoon and you know, have a walkthrough, get some shots up, and you know, load the bus and head over to Tri-County and hopefully take care of business.
Well, we got this one right here for too. We talked about, you know, you guys, we opened up with Benton, and it was mentioned by Coach Meeks how he loves playing in the Hoosier Conference. I mean, it's pretty good in other sports, too. I mean, you got Benton Central and Northwestern, both teams from that conference, and the separate divisions met up in the state finals in 3A. Lafayette Central Catholic's a really good team. It's just in your division. Now, Benton, runner-up. Lafayette Central Catholic, usually a pretty good team. West Lafayette's obviously got some athletes. Twin Lakes is no pushover. I mean, you guys, really, I mean, would you say that conference helps prepare you as well for the tournament on the girls' side? I mean,
oh, absolutely. You know, even... you know, CC is in 2A now. They, you know, they've had that success, so they're in the same division as we are as far as classification goes. So, you know, when I took this job, that was one of the biggest draws to me was a conference. You know, coming from, you know, at North Judson when we had the old Hoosier Conference and playing against that battle, and then, you know, I went to Oregon Davis where we were independent. We didn't have a conference, and it was something that, yeah, we might have had that freedom to, you know, play against South and Washington or play against Penn and those types of teams. But when I took this job at Rensselaer, being in the Hoosier Conference and you know, playing against BC, playing against Twin Lakes, playing against quality opponents, you know, in our conference only helps you. I have no complaints. I love the fact that we're in a conference. I love the battles. I love the atmosphere that we get a chance to play in. And it really prepares us for that postseason. And, you know, when we were 3A, half the time we would have to face Twin Lakes in the 3A sectional. So, you know, it's always nice to be able to, you know, and Coach Bowser and I would always root for each other that one of us would win that sectional. So it's always one of those situations where you want your conference to be very strong. Do I want to play against Division One players in Northwestern and Purdue and Michigan State, that they got those girls? Absolutely. That's the teams I want my girls to play against. That's the competition I want to go against. And when you have a conference that's that strong, it only benefits you. Even if you take your whippings sometimes and you lick your wounds, you still are getting that chance to say, I'm competing against the best. And, you know, that's what I want all of, you know, Coach Meek said it, Coach Pulver will say it, I'll say it. I want to compete against the best. I want Rensselaer Central girls programs to compete against the best, and I think our conference does a real nice job of that. So I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to playing and opening up our conference. But, you know, we got to take it a game at a time, and Tri-County is the one we got to focus on tonight because, you know, that's going to be a battle for us.
Well, one final one, Coach. You guys do have personalized, so they're, believe it or not, everyone out there. How will you be spending your Thanksgiving this upcoming Thursday?
You know, I'll be watching game film, looking at that, spend time with my family, obviously. But in the back of my mind, you always try to think about how can I make things better for the girls, but then also taking time to thank the good Lord for the opportunities that I have. Always thankful for that. Always never want to let that go to the wayside. Thankful for my family. So I was spending a lot of time between the in-laws and my mom's, and unfortunately putting on some more weight, I'm sure, along the way. But, you know, always spend some time with family, but, you know, still trying to focus on the girls and, you know, rejuvenating ourselves. You know, I hate losing. And you'll find this out as we get going, and I hate to lose. It tears me up. I can't stand it. I can't stand it for the girls. I can't stand it for myself. I'm very self-reflective on that. There's got to be something that I can help them to fix that situation. So we'll take those couple days, but basketball is always right there, and we don't take too much time to sit and focus on anything else, but, you know, looking ahead to what we have to do.
Well, Coach, best of luck. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. No show next Saturday.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
And that was Coach Russ Radke of the Rensselaer Central Lady Bombers basketball squad. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WOPI97.7.com.
Emerson Sondergrath Chevrolet Buick, locally owned and operated in Kentland, serving Benton, Newton, and surrounding counties. Service and warranty work is done on all makes of GM vehicles. They have a large selection of new and pre-owned vehicles in stock. Since 2003, they have sold over 4,000 vehicles. Let Emerson Sondergrath Chevrolet Buick on US 24 in Kentland help you with your next vehicle purchase today.
When you want a mechanic with experience you can trust, call CR Repair and Towing in Brook. From brakes to oil changes to transmission and engine work, they do it all. Whether it's auto, truck, or a mower you need repaired, call the experienced staff at CR Repair and Towing. CR Repair and Towing offers new and used tires for heavy duty, agriculture, and lawn and garden, and accepts all major credit cards. For emergency service and towing, call 219-275-6100. CR Repair and Towing in Brook. Experience you can trust.
RMT Transport in Morocco is now hiring for Class A CDL drivers. Drivers haul locally and are home every night. Benefits are available after a probationary period. Please call Tiffany at RMT Transport in Morocco for more information. 219-285-2307. RMT Transport in Morocco is now hiring for Class A CDL drivers. Please call Tiffany 219-285-2307.
Back from the SB19 restaurant in Sandy Pines Golf Course and beautiful DeMond, Indiana for the Sports Showcase. Bernie going here along with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central boys basketball team now, Coach Chad Palmer. Coach, how are you today?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Yeah, nice to see you. Glad we can join in. So final week where you don't guys don't have an opponent this week, so getting through the final parts of the preseason sort of the schedule. How's that going for you guys?
We had a scrimmage on Thursday against West Central, and so it gave us a little bit of an idea of how we were going to do things and gave us an opportunity to do some substitutions and some lineups. And I had taken the moment before the game and put together every minute of who was supposed to be in, and so that way it wasn't based on performance. It was more based on the expectations of what we wanted to see and then how the lineups worked together. And so to be able to do that in against another opponent was actually really beneficial for us. We got to get the younger guys in. We got to get the different combinations of the older guys together. So that worked really well for us this week.
So how's the thoughts for basketball coaches? I know football coaches hate that scrimmage these days. It sounds like you're a little more receptive of them. Obviously, you don't have to worry about banging so much into each other. So injuries, not as big of a factor out there. But, I know for, like, it sounds like, at least from experience, too, you're glad to play another team because the kids really do get sick of just scrimmaging against each other 6 days a week.
We do like the idea of going against another school or playing against another team. I am sensitive to the fact that some people try to walk in and look at it as wins and losses, and one of the things that I tend to do for us is that I tell the other team what I want them to do. So, hey, deny our wings on this because, and then I give them a rationale, and whether they do it or not, it's up to them. But I feel like if I'm already hamstringing this a little bit, it puts us in a bad spot. And I'd rather know that our guys have to work through that than to walk in and expect that everything's going to be golden. The reality is that we want a scrimmage that's going to challenge us. We want a scrimmage to show where we are in the process. And so we got a little taste of that, and that was good for us.
Yeah, I always found it interesting how parents and even some players like just took the scrimmage like it was life or death. It's good to be competitive and all that, but I'm like, folks, it's this game literally doesn't count. It's just like, when teams do this in the preseason or spring, you're not trying to win the game. You're trying to put yourself in a situation to come out so it's not going to, on the scoreboard. I'm shocked. Other than just, I guess, for the heck of it, get everybody some time in. And like the score, why you would even keep scoring the game through? This to me, it was always like just keep the clock running. get some, you know, kind of cardiovascular in there.
I think that's part of it. It is a running clock, and we chose to do the five different sessions as opposed to the four quarters. And they do zero it after every session, and so that part's good. But there is a reality of when you have a nice run and you're up 11-0, and you look up and you're like, oh, we're 11-0. I don't want them to relax. That's not why we're doing a scrimmage. And so to be able to not even have the score is a certain advantage. And we tend to play that way quite a bit because we're looking at standard as opposed to are we up or are we down. Now, there are other things that we do in practice where we score everything. We know how many possessions we have. We know how many possessions we score on and what's the result of that. And we chart things and we put them down. And so we're trying to balance it out with, yes, results do matter, with the idea of just because you're winning doesn't mean it was a good game. And just because you lost doesn't mean it was a bad game. And so getting them to realize what it is that we're trying to do and play at a standard that is important for us.
And this is a sports showcase from the SP19 restaurant, the Sandy Pines Golf Course in DeMond, Indiana, on WOKI97.7.com. Bernie Gohan with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Bombers boys basketball team, Coach Chad Pulver. And I'm interested in that going forward. Now you're through the scrimmage. And the common theme for really all four of us in here, I saw them last night, though, you guys will take different turns facing them. The Tri-County Cavaliers, as you guys first, Coach Shepard will get them on Tuesday. You guys will get them Saturday.
Correct.
So, I mean, and Coach Radke gets them tonight. we'll all become pretty familiar with Tri-County. So, I mean, I'm sure you guys are just, you'll be happy next week, finally tip it off for real in a meaningful game out there.
It is a fun game, and honestly, it's become our tradition to go and watch the KV Tri-County game earlier in the week simply because it gives us one of the few times where we as a team can go and watch other schools play, and our guys enjoy that. They like going to watch our neighboring schools play, and the good part about it for KV and Tri-County is they get the first game jitters out against each other, and then we show up on Friday, and Tri-County is kind of polished at that point. We walk out, and we're wide-eyed and oftentimes panicked, and so it takes us hopefully less time to get grooved in than it did in years past. But we really do like playing against our teams that are close to us. I think it provides a little bit of that historical context of what happens over time. The reality is that Tri-County is going to go 100% of the floor. They're going to push, they're going to pressure, and when they get the ball, they're going to go fast, they're going to penetrate and kick. And they typically have guys that are going to knock it down. And so we've got to be prepared for that. And so part of what we're going through today and then for the rest of the week until they show up, we need to be able to do that. And I think we're getting there, but we're not where we need to be. And so a part of what we have to do is learn to read the floor better, learn to play our gaps a little bit better than what we are. And so we've got some work to do.
Well, one thing, as a football player, it didn't really matter where we opened up. But as basketball, for whatever reason, you mentioned those first game jitters, you like to open at home. Is that nice this year that you guys will be two games in a row to open the season at Joe Burrow?
We have a great opener. We have the county rivals coming in, and we have a Friday. So, you know, we have a Friday, get the jitters out, and then have a week to prepare for the next one. And so that's really positive for us. And then we go on the road after that. But to have that familiarity of this is what our warm-up's going to be, this is how we're going to come out, this is the music we get to have, this is where your parents are going to be sitting, this is the color of our stands, all that kind of stuff, especially for the younger guys, that really does help.
Well, Coach, I mentioned this one with Coach Radke, and I'll go with you now. Who's your conference? I mean, we talked about on the girls' side, it's good on the boys' side, too, as well. You know, LCC and other teams, really good there for you guys see just in your division, Twin Lakes, you know, no pushover out there. I mean, you guys got some really good teams there. I'm sure you enjoy playing in that conference, as it probably helps prepare you guys as well going forward down the season. You have, you'll get them, I think, with your fourth game, you're at Twin Lakes, correct?
Correct.
Your first conference game.
Correct.
In December. So, I mean, an easy one to open up with, especially on the road.
And I think that's very accurate for us. There's a reality to playing well in the Hoosier Conference. If a team does well in the Hoosier Conference, they have a shot to go pretty deep in the tournament. And so I think our guys are very aware of that. I think they understand the importance of playing those conference opponents the way that we need to, and to pull a few of those pieces together. And when you have someone like Lafayette Central Catholic and West Lafayette, who have really deep benches, good basketball minds, you pull into Twin Lakes, who has a rich tradition and a really well-coached, polished team, then it puts us on front and center very quickly about whether we know our stuff, are we prepared, are we actually executing. And I think we're really looking forward to coming in and seeing where we measure up, knowing that it's part of the process. And if we can make a splash in the conference, we should be in good shape when it comes toward the end of the season.
Well, one thing, I mean, you got four of your first six at home. Better take advantage of those, because I'm sure you know as good as anyone down the stretch, if I got this right, like, is it 8 of the last 11 are on the road, or 7 of the last 10 are on the road?
We leave home. We basically leave home, and that's how we finish our season. And that's it's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, the reality is that our sectional is being played at Winamax, so the last Friday of our season is Winamax,
and they'll return
we'll be there next week. And so Winamax is a pretty hostile place to play for a team, and to be able to be on the road and pull games out and do it the right way is a very important step for us, and it's a good learning process. And I think every year a team has to learn to do that. And people that walk into an opponent's floor and think it's supposed to just turn into a win, that's a really hard lesson to learn.
Yeah, unless you're lucky enough to host that sectional, it's different in every other sport after football, because all these schools got to learn to go on the road. You're traveling to these different places. I mean, heck, if you guys are fortunate enough, and hopefully that's the case, get to the reef, you're all the way in LaPel. I mean, what a road trip.
We've got a ways to go.
You got to have to wait two games that day.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy, because the semis would probably be then at loss. Yeah, I mean, I saw that when I was looking up ahead. I was like, wow, all the way. I'm like, where's LaPel? And that just blew my mind that's how far you have to go all the way for regional.
Yeah, with the way we are regionals are set up. So a team that makes it out of our sectional, we shifted south instead of north. And so that's part of what happened. So when they realigned it this last year, that realignment as it'll be a really interesting sectional for us. I think we're excited to have a little bit different opportunity. But the regional, with it shifting that way, we know we'll be on the bus for a little while.
That's at least, well, Coach, one final one for you. How are you going to enjoy your Thanksgiving? I'm sure you, like Coach Radick, will be preparing as well, considering you'll have a game a day after.
We do, and so we're actually practicing 6 in the morning on Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving, boys. But the idea behind that is that we get up and get it over with, then they have the rest of the day. And I know a lot of our guys travel. They have family that, you know, may be a little bit of a way. And so I really wanted them to have that opportunity. In years past, I thought, well, we'll let them sleep in, we'll let them do their thing, and then we'll come in the late afternoon and evening. And for the last couple of years, the boys have elected to come in early. So this year I just made it by default. All right, we're going at 6. Get them out of there by 8. They get on the road or wherever they need to go. And so then we go from that to we do have a little bit of a dust off on Friday before we leave for the game, and so or have the game. And so that will be really most of what my Thanksgiving is going to be. I do have some time where we'll go and we'll have dinner with the family, and I'm really looking forward to that. But I'm really fortunate that my eldest son is on the team this year, and so I'm not away from my family the whole day, even when I might be standing in the gym. So that's a really special opportunity to be able to have my own boy on the team with me.
Well, Coach, best of luck next Friday against Tri-County, and we will see you a couple weeks from now, as you guys will have KV, second game at Joe Irvin, so it'll be fun.
Thank you very much.
All right, and that was Coach Chad Pulver of the Rensselaer Central Bomber Boys Basketball Team. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WOKI977.com.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
If you're a sports fan or just proud of your school, Reinforcements Design has the spirit wear that says, I'm a fan. Stocking hats, t-shirts, baseball caps, hoodies, sweatshirts, and scarves, too. Reinforcements Design is your Bomber sportswear headquarter like no other. Plus, Reen has something for all the local schools. See Reinforcements Design today on 114 just west of the Jasper County Fairgrounds, Rensselaer.
Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning is still your local provider for propane, with service you can depend on not only for propane, but even your water softener, drinking supplies, and salt. Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning, with locations in Remington and Winnemac to serve you. For your next home heating, drying, and water softener supplies, call Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning in Remington, 219-261-4286, or in Winnemac, 574-946-3053.
Back from the SP19 restaurant here at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in Des Moines, Indiana, on WLKI 97.7.com for a sports showcase. Bernie going out with the head coach of the Kinky Valley Cougars boys basketball team, Coach Bill Shepherd. Coach, how are you today?
Good. Doing well.
Well, Coach, as I mentioned, the four of us know Tri-County pretty well, so you will open up with them next Tuesday. What have you seen from them that kind of makes you a little nervous out there? What do you guys got to prepare for out on the court?
Well, the first games are always unique because you don't know what to expect from anybody, really. You think you know, and then you find out you don't know. So, Tri-County is always very well coached. As Coach Pulver said earlier, they're going to go full court, all out. They like to penetrate and kick. They like to start a lot of stuff with a ball screen up top as well. It's just a situation where defensively we got to be ready to execute a few things, and we will just Be mentally on our game, because Tri-County is going to give us a good solid good fundamentals effort, and they're not going to beat themselves. So we're going to have to go down there. It's a tough place to play. Their fans follow them very well. I know they're going to have a good crowd on their side. They always do, and we'll be looking forward to the challenge.
Well, Coach, are you guys probably ready? They're probably tired of just going one-on-one with each other right out there in the gym, or five-on-five in the gymnasium. You're ready for a real game, aren't you, out there?
Yeah. I mean, they're tired of seeing each other and going against each other, and that's understandable. It's a situation where they want to play a real game against somebody to see where they're at and see the things that we need to improve on, to reach our goals down the road. So, we're chomping at the bit. We're going to see how things fall on Tuesday night.
Well, ought to be fun. Now, you guys, is it like a conscious decision to have the game before Thanksgiving? I'm sure that you're probably glad to get it out of the way and then kind of enjoy your Thanksgiving, as you guys will then have a little bit of a break then before you guys head to Joe Burden the following week.
Yeah, we've always, ever since I can remember, we've always opened up on the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Back when I started coaching, we used to play. This being my second go around. The first time around, we used to play Rensselaer the day after Thanksgiving. And then this go around, we played Twin Lakes the day after Thanksgiving. I just always felt, because at Kinky Valley, you can't practice on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I just always felt that was way too quick a turnaround, game one to game two. So we were able to move the Twin Lakes game a couple years ago into January. And now that gives us a really good scheduling setup where we play on a Tuesday, and then we got a week and a half to really assess that and, find areas we need to improve on and start pinpointing things. And we're not rushing into anything. And then, like you said, we can also enjoy our Thanksgiving at the same time.
Yeah, speaking from experience, when I was out there on the court, I mean, we opened up where we had, it was a game against a very large school compared to us on a Tuesday night, and you got beat up by them. Everybody was kind of down and stuff. Then you had a quick turnaround and had to play another pretty good school on a Saturday, and that just wasn't working. So then what they did for to throw us a lifeboat, so to speak, they made us come in Friday. We couldn't practice on Thursday either. Had to come in Friday and play our arch rivals. Right after Thanksgiving. So, you didn't enjoy Thanksgiving. Like they said, I was talking with Coach Pulver and Coach Ray. We had the coaches tell us, don't do what we do, where we're going to sit around and eat all day. You have a game for on Friday. And then it was just like, yeah, it was awful. I mean, I much rather would have had the situation you guys had where you play a Tuesday, you can reassess Wednesday, have Thanksgiving off, and then, after that, go to work, and then that gives you, like, a sort of week to prepare for one of your biggest rivals as well. Instead of playing the day after.
Exactly. And I just like the whole situation where, on Thursday you can take a break and just relax. And I mean, there's no pressing issues. We don't have anybody on Friday or Saturday. We'll go watch games Friday and Saturday, but there's nothing that we got to prepare for at that point in time. We just need to work on us. And we can take Thursday off as a mental break and then come back on Friday and work on us.
Well, you guys, unlike your rivals, the Bombers, you guys have to kind of be the Road Warriors early on. You got Tri-County, Rensselaer, next day you finally get to come home, host the College Mustangs, then you're right back on the road to pretty much close out December. Two tough opponents there, the Valparaiso Vikings. You should have all their players back by then.
By the
state finals, and then the defending 2A champions, the 59ers, in their building, who should also have all their, I mean, so it, like those are some meat grinder games for your first five and on the road. I mean, you're going to get a real examination the first month, I would say, how good your team is and if they're ready for the expectations that are out there for you guys.
Well, exactly right. And I mean, you know, it's all about having a championship mentality and executing game to game and knowing what you're good at, what you're not good at, and, you know, don't let the other team see your flaws, you know, and because they scout, they're going to pick up on that kind of stuff. And you know, I just think it's a situation where we really can show people that, hey, we have the maturity and mentality to execute at a high level. Or we can also show that we don't, you know, and by, like you said, by having that many challenges on the road early, you get an early read on that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're looking forward to hopefully passing some tests and showing that we can do some things and then, you know, staying composed and under control against that type of competition. And as you said, you know, as we get deeper into September, the competition doesn't get anything but tougher. So, you know, when you get Valpo and Andrean, I know they're several weeks, but back to back on the road, that's not an easy situation. But you know, that's going to prepare us not just physically, but it should prepare us mentally as well. You know, because you're going to have to be on your mental game in those types of situations. So we're looking forward to it.
And this is a sports showcase from the SB19 restaurant in the Sandy Pines Golf Course, DeMont, Indiana. Bernie Gone here with the head coach of the Kinky Valley Cougars male basketball team, Coach Bill Shepherd. All right, Coach, how will you be spending your Thanksgiving? I mean, like, so you'll be enjoying it probably a little bit more than these guys because you don't have a game for a week. What will you do? I know I'll probably enjoy some time with the family and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, whether it's fortunate or not fortunate, I'm a single guy, so, you know, I don't have my own family, but, you know, I'll be spending time with my parents and some other relatives and stuff. We typically go up to a banquet house in Lowell. They have a pretty nice spread for there for Thanksgiving dinner, and you know, there's Bears football on Thanksgiving this year.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of depends on what week he gets them, but you know, we'll be taking in some of that and just, you know, just relaxing and enjoying the day. Because like I said, you know, we don't play for another 8 days after that, so that we need to take we'll take that as a mental break day, and then we'll come back on Friday and it'll be back to business as usual.
Well, I know you got a big one coming up today, heading out a few minutes
right.
Going to South Bend. Final home game of the year, that's such a special game. That's something, as a fan, I've always wanted to try to do, and hopefully one day I'll be fortunate enough to do it Saturday, the final home game for those seniors. I mean, it's quite the atmosphere out there, regardless of their playing. Should be a sellout out there, obviously, folks. I mean, and a team that's not a whole lot of love lost between the Irish and Boston College out there. So, you know, I mean, it's always nice to pound them a little bit, right?
I think everybody, and if you're an Irish fan, you remember that 1993, that BC took away the chance.
Gordon with the kick, was
yeah.
It not?
Yeah, you know, and that especially the week after beating Florida State, that's always a difficult thing to remember all the time. I mean, whenever you talk BC, that's the first thing almost any Irish fan
and
remembers.
And don't forget, kind of the same thing happened again. They went to Florida State. The result, too, once Florida State beat them, looked really good. A Florida State team that should have beaten the number one team in the nation that year, the Hurricanes,
yep.
And Boston College did it again.
Yep, exactly. So they've been the nemesis. And, you know, we were a little off last week when we talked about Notre Dame because they just took Navy to the woodshed, which was kind of surprising. But, you know, hopefully this week they can perform again. I think they're starting to find that offensive rhythm a little bit that they've been missing. So, you know, hopefully it's not too late before they can sneak into something. But either way, I'm just hoping they build on last week because it looked pretty good.
Well, if chaos ensues, which it probably will at the lower ends, which will help Notre Dame, I think we pretty much know who three of the four teams will be in. Could be Georgia, Team Notre Dame,
yep.
Should have beaten, in my opinion, back in September. And then, I mean, if you hold business, and you should these next 2 weeks, and then Stanford the following week, Stanford, I think, is pretty much done on the season. Should get a New Year's Six Bowl, mm-hmm. And that ought to be some fun. What would be in how about if Georgia isn't? And there wouldn't it be great to play them again, maybe?
Oh,
like in the Chick-fil-A Bowl or something.
No doubt about it. That would be outstanding. I as a Notre Dame fan, you just like to play a marquee opponent, you know, and that's they got to get that big bowl monkey off their back, too, because they've had a bugaboo with that. So, but like you said, New Year's Six Bowl against a good quality opponent would be a good thing.
And how about this, real fast? If say, is this the thing? What if Bama doesn't make it, which is a good possibility? You know, that's going to end up. They're going to end up somehow finding each other there to play each other, and that would be that would be quite the atmosphere. That might even get bigger ratings than maybe a couple of playoff games.
Oh, no doubt. And I would be all for Bama, playing Bama without Tua.
Yeah, who wouldn't, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Coach, have fun today. It's tough. Been best of luck next week against Tri-County, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
That was Coach Bill Shepherd of the Kinky Valley Cougars boys basketball team. More to come on the Sports Showcase here from Sandy Pines Golf Course, or Sandy, the SP19 restaurant, Sandy Pines Golf Course, on WLKI977.com.
Thinking about Thanksgiving dinner? Fozzie Caleb TV and Appliances has just what you need. Whirlpool ranges offer heavy-duty grates, convection oven, rapid preheat, AquaLift cleaning technology, and a 5.8 cubic foot oven to hold even your biggest turkey. Whirlpool and Fozzie Caleb TV and Appliances want to help you this holiday season. See Marty and the boys at Fozzie Caleb TV and Appliances in DeMott and Rensselaer for your new Whirlpool range.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
DeMott, you have a title company.
State Street Title.
Morocco, you have a title company.
State Street Title.
Lowell, you have a new title company.
State Street Title.
State Street Title knows your most valuable asset is your home. They know the stress, questions, and concerns when purchasing and financing. With dedicated professionalism, they will guide and assure that you are protected against claims or risks. State Street Title is here to serve you with three convenient locations in Morocco, DeMott, and now Lowell.
Back to the Sports Showcase at the SP19 restaurant from Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana. We're going here real quick, some housekeeping issues to take care of here. Next weekend will be the final weekend for the boys' football season out there at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. We will carry two of the games right here on WLQI. That will be to be determined who will be, but we got some great matchups. It goes like this. The odds are on Friday. Evens are on Saturday, so 1-3-5A is Friday, 2-4-6A on Saturday, and 1A you got the Lafayette Central Catholic Knights from the Hoosier Conference. We talked about so much taking on undefeated Indianapolis Lutheran Saints team. That ought to be a great matchup between those two in Class 3A, a matchup that used to happen religiously in the southern part, in the semi-state, the Indianapolis Bishop Chatard Trojans taking on the Heritage Hills Patriots. Heritage Hills from Santa Claus, the alma mater of one Jay Cutler, but this year, because Heritage or Indianapolis Chatard moving up to the north, they will take on each other. Hills undefeated this year. Chatard's one loss to powerhouse Indianapolis Cathedral, only by 10 points. Other than that, the majority of their games were not even close to season, folks. It ought to be an outstanding game there. Three and Heritage Hills, really. Danville gave them a bit of a run. Gibson Southern gave them a scare in the sectional semifinal, but outside of that, they've really been putting on a lot of their opponents, too. And then in Class 5A, the Valparaiso Vikings moved down in 5A. Now they will be taking on the New Palestine Dragons, two undefeated teams. They're New Palestine, the defending state champions in Class 5A. So what a matchup. Everybody should be ready to see there between those two. New Palestine this year, again, another team that really hasn't been challenged all that much. They have a victory over the team that could win it in 6A. In Center Grove. That ought to tell you some of the Center Grove Trojans. They beat them pretty handily, 28-9 during the season. I mean, and then they put it on Cathedral, that team I mentioned that just beat Chatard 35-10. They took care of business against Rex Grossman's alma mater, Bloomington South, 45-0 last week. And Valparaiso, outside of taking on a team that was in their own conference in the semi-state last night in the Maryville Pirates, they pretty much put it on their entire conference as well this season, and the taking care of all of their opponents. Had a tough one with Dwenger, but Dwenger traditionally a really good school. So those are your matchups on Friday. On Saturday, in Class 2A, the Eastbrook Panthers and the Western Boom Stars meet up in what will be a rematch of last year's 2A championship, where the Western Boom Stars won that one. So that ought to be a tremendous matchup. In Class 4A, you have East Noble, a bit of a surprise at 14-0 there. The Knights taking on a team in Evansville Memorial. How about this? Last year, they won the Class 4A state championship. Their only loss this year was in triple overtime to Evansville Central. They ended up taking care of that in the sectional championship, beating them 38-14. So Memorial, and they have an interesting story themselves. When John Hurley came there to head coach in 2008, they were coming off a 3-9 year. They got all the way to the state championship, and they went through the Heritage Hills Indianapolis-Chittard gauntlet, lost to Belmont in the state finals. The following year, they did the same thing, beating Heritage Hills Indianapolis-Chittard before losing to West Lafayette in the state championship. And then some patience had to endure. They had a couple of down years by their standards, you know, 4-8 year, 3-8 year, 13-14, 4-8, and then 15-2-8. They stuck with John Hurley. It paid off. Sectional championship at 16, and they've been on a roll the last 2 years. 17, they won the state championship. In 18, last year, they lost a shootout to the West Lafayette Red Devils, 42-47. And they beat Chittard last year on their way to another state championship appearance. So now they try to get revenge here in 4A. I'm sorry, so they were just 2017 champions last year, the runner-up this year. Now, after that success factor, they are now in the Class 4A championship. Speaks to them. And in Class 6, they surprise, another Metropolitan Interscholastic Conference matchup. The Carmel Greyhounds and the Center Grove Trojans, two teams that have met in the regular season because somehow Carmel's in the north. Carmel won that game 20-14. This will not be the first time these two have met up in the state championship. I was fortunate enough to be at one of the games the first time they played each other at when they opened up Lucas Oil Stadium. That back then when it was Class 5A, a quarterback by the name of Morgan Newton would go on to play at Kentucky, played back then for the Carmel Greyhounds. And in that matchup, it was a 36-33 victory for Center Grove as they finished out a 14-1 season, getting revenge. They had lost to Carmel earlier that year, 33-32. Since then, for Center Grove, they've not been back to the state championship until 2013 when they avenged everyone, got the victory that year for their second title, looking for now a third as they, again, will take on Carmel in a rematch where they played each other again this season as well as back in the 2008 season. And Carmel, I mean, they just keep chugging along as well up there in the north again somehow in the northern part of the state, but they've been a terror for a lot of people. This year, 10-3 on the year, and they have quite the history themselves out there. Their last state championship coming in 2016 with a victory against Center Grove, 16-13 in overtime. It was the defending champion, Center Grove, that season, so they'll meet up again this year. Losing last year did Carmel to Warren Central, 27-7. I mean, and they have state championships going all the way back to 78. 80, 81, 86, 89, and then 07, 11, and then 2 years ago. So those are your matchups. As it's 2, 4, and 6 on Saturday. Again, that's the Eastbrook Panthers and Warren Western Boone Stars in a rematch at 2A, Class 4A. East Noble Knights taking on the Evansville Memorial Tigers. The Tigers trying to win a second state championship in 3 years, this time in 4A, and then the Carmel Greyhounds Center Grove Trojans from the mid-conference meeting up in 6A. So with that, we'll take a break. When we come back, some Bears thoughts and here on the Sports Showcase on WOKI977.com.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is, we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
Royal King Grills have more style and function than ever before while still producing the legendary cooking results you've come to expect. All the features that have made them an industry leader are apparent on every grill, from the fit and finish to the outstanding grilling performance for the outdoor chef who wants the best in both style and function. See Marty and the boys at Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances in DeMont and Rensselaer for your new Royal King Grill.
SP19 American Kitchen and Bar is a unique culinary treat for the whole family. Each weekend, Chef Brian puts his reputation on the line with a menu above and beyond your ordinary weekend restaurant. The five-star entrees paired with your favorite beverage and the delectable desserts have people raving over the creativity of SP19's weekend specials. Plus, their delicious family menu gives you so much more to choose from. Follow them on Facebook for new weekend specials. SP19, American Kitchen and Bar, where champions are made.
And we are back from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Lions Golf Course in Des Moines, Indiana, for the Sports Showcase. Bernie Goin here now on WLQI97.7.com. And I want to get in some Bears thoughts here, since we do cover the Bears on LQI, and we'll be covering them Saturday as well as Thanksgiving, the simulcast game as they take on the Giants and Lions. It's amazing. I saw Adam Johnson does a great job for The Athletic now. He used to do it for the Sun-Times covering the Bears. And he had made a comment back, I want to say it was after the London game, where he said, boy, this season's looking more and more like the 2014 season. And me, who I did not have the expectations a lot of people had. I mean, I had them at 10-6, and that was pending if they were able to finally beat Green Bay at home, and they did not do that. So my expectations got even lower after that. I still thought there was no way this season could turn into 2014. There's too much talent. It should not turn into a Bears. Well, guess what? It's done that. And it is so ironic because it's looking so much more and more like that. If fans remember this, Stu Ones, it was 3-6 was that team after giving up 250 burgers to New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers. They went on to win the next two games to get to 5-6 against two very bad opponents in the Tampa Bay or the Minnesota Vikings and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then they went into Thanksgiving to play the Detroit Lions. This Sunday they have the New York Giants, not a very good football team out there, who they very well could win as well to get the 5-6. This time around, they'll head into Thanksgiving. Then literally the same opponent after that. They'll have the Dallas Cowboys, just like in 2014, at home on a Thursday night. From there, just like in 2014, I don't see the Bears may beat the Giants. They may beat the Lions, and so they'll maybe be 6-6 instead of 5-7 after 12 games. But in the last four games, just like then, you'll have the Cowboys. Instead of playing the Saints, it was, they'll play the Packers. If you're going to Green Bay, that's a loss. Green Bay, if they beat the San Francisco 49ers, to me, are on track to possibly get the one seed in the NFC. If you look at their schedule after that, they will play the hopeless Giants and then the Washington Redskins, who are one of the few teams worse than the New York Giants out there. And then they'll have the Bears. That's three easy matchups for the Packers. Then their only tough one will be going to Minnesota, but a place Aaron Rodgers won before. It's not like that can't get done. And then week 17, they'll have the Lions, who probably won't even have Matt Stafford at that point. So the Packers, if they beat the 49ers this Sunday, should finish out at the very worst, losing one more game. And if they win out, which they very well could, that'll give them only two losses, a victory over the Niners, give them a tiebreaker there. And then if the Saints lose another one somewhere, they will pass them up. So when my point is that week 15 matchup, they'll have a lot of incentive. The Bears will have very little in that game. The Bears then, week 16, will be playing the Chiefs, who could be playing for a bye as well. That team will have a lot of incentive. In week 17, the Vikings will probably be playing for the playoffs. So even in a situation where the Bears were good and meeting expectations these last four games, and again, the Cowboys as well, they're fighting for a division. They're fighting for a home game in the playoffs. So those four games get a lot of motivation for teams, and it was going to be very tough even when we looked at the schedule. I had them going, believe it or not, 0-4 to close out the year with that 10-6 record. So I had them down the stretch even very good losing those four games. Now it's just a question by how much. And the point to all this is, I just want to say, is they've become an embarrassment. And it's ridiculous and it's sad. And it's time that they move on, I think, from Mitch Trubisky at the end of the season. At the very least, got to bring in real competition next year, whether that's a trade for Cam Newton. See, I don't think they're bringing in a Marcus Mariota, who's also been a bust for the Tennessee Titans, or Ryan Tannehill, who was just average at best with the Miami Dolphins, now possibly the Tennessee Titans, is really creating much competition out there. I understand you don't want to cut bait, but you're in a time right now. You have two directions to go if you're the Chicago Bears, and this falls directly at the feet of George Halas. Nobody else but George Halas McCaskey. You have two decisions to make. Clean up again. I mean, here's the thing. How many people get to have 5 years at a place where they're not successful for four? I mean, that's what Ryan Pace is looking at. 14-34 after 3 years. Last year they were 12-4, so he got the under 500 mark down to 12 games. But now, depending on how this season goes, they can increase that. 8-8 would still keep him in his tenure, 12 games under 500 with the Bears. Yes, he inherited a mess, but, you know, he's had now more than enough time to make up for that, and he's going to be judged on somebody's first-round draft picks. Kevin White was a bust. Leonard Floyd, who he moved up to get, has been an underachiever at best. Mitch Trubisky, and again, I understand people are going to say, well, Patrick Mahomes didn't look that good. Deshaun Watson did, folks. He was a, should have been a two-time national champion, if not for a gutsy call by Nick Saban. That wasn't on Deshaun Watson, why his Clemson Tigers lost, why you wouldn't draft him with that number three pick you had. You can move up to get him there at number two. And, I mean, that's just ridiculous who they ended up taking with that. While this has not been all his fault, he has been a big reason why this team has regressed. Matt Nagy, why you would hire a guy who had just lost a playoff game, calling games against a very weak opponent in the Tennessee Titans, ironically, to a guy he may be coaching next year, possibly Marcus Mariota. It's sad. It's ridiculous. They hired him on the spot, and then that Trubisky pick wasn't great. How about this, moving up to draft Anthony Miller, when the pick you used to move up to get him turned into Alvin Kamara, again, when you were now looking for a running back last year, and you took David Montgomery where you moved up again. It's just been a hot mess there. Ryan Pace thinking he's too cute. He's trying to reinvent the wheel. I mean, to me, I don't know. Will McCaskey have had enough? I mean, my thing I would say for Bears fans is maybe you want to hope that they finish out the year 5-11. Heck, maybe even 4-12. I mean, they lose to the Giants. Maybe as bad as it can get out there. I mean, because that's the only way you're going to see some real changes. You saw that where they got rid of Phil Emery and Mark Trestman. Unfortunately, it looks like they hired two morons to replace them, which is unbelievable to say. And the worst part about this, they're wasting a Hall of Fame player, Khalil Mack's prime, who would be nice if he'd show up too. Great players get double teamed. It's time to fight through it. Akeem Hicks has been a really big miss for them, but that's not enough to sit there and say this defense should fall apart. I mean, they are missing Vic Fangio. Maybe it wouldn't have been the worst idea to have Fangio be your head coach so he could get the defense intact and hired a good offensive coordinator that wasn't a Dow Log and somebody like that. I mean, and folks, I mean, this is getting worse than the John Fox era. It really is, because under the John Fox era, the team, they lost some bad games and stuff. I would say it never got this embarrassing out there on the field, and it is right now. I mean, that loss to the Chargers was brutal, and the way they just looked against the Rams was unacceptable. The Rams aren't even as good this year, and the Bears have looked that poor out there, and unfortunately it's only going to get worse from here, I think. So my thing is, it's time for them to move on from Trubisky. It's time to move on from Pace, and it's time to move on. You got to trade Khalil Mack, get some prospects out of that, and go from there. Hire a football consultant. Don't let it be Ernie Accorsi this time. Get a Ron Wolf. Maybe get a Bill Polian, the former GM of the Bills, Panthers, and Colts. Figure this out already, McCaskey. Or maybe sell the team already. Maybe, but that's not going to happen because they want to keep the legacy of George Halas. But under the McCaskey ownership, since George Muggs Halas passed away, who was supposed to take over the team and went to his sister, Virginia, who was married to Ed, and they had, of course, all those children. When George Sr. passed away in 83, it passed on to Michael McCaskey. We don't even need to remember how bad it got there with all that going on. And now he was moved out of there after that embarrassment of the whole stadium fiasco back in 2001. Ted Phillips took over. He got to make personnel decisions, even though he's a glorified accountant from Notre Dame. I don't know why he's making football personnel decisions. And then George McCaskey took over chairman of the board. First move was firing Jerry Angelo. Was the right move at the time, but hiring Phil Emery, whoever's decision that was terrible. Then you moved on from him at least, but then you have not been able to fix it with Ryan Pace here, who has made better moves, but it's still just been an absolute hot mess out there. And with that said, I employ the Bears to hopefully move on. And, you know, you say it can't get worse. I'm not going to go that far because a loss to the Giants, and it does get that worse. But with that, we'll take one more break here. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on the Sports Showcase on WOKI97.7.com.
Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning is still your local provider for propane, with service you can depend on not only for propane, but even your water softener, drinking supplies, and salt. Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning, with locations in Remington and Winnemac to serve you. For your next home heating, drying, and water softener supplies, call Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning in Remington, 219-261-4286, or in Winnemac, 574-946-3053.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
SP 19 American Kitchen and Bar is a unique culinary treat for the whole family. Each weekend, Chef Brian puts his reputation on the line with a menu above and beyond your ordinary weekend restaurant. The five-star entrees paired with your favorite beverage and the delectable desserts have people raving over the creativity of SP 19's weekend specials. Plus, their delicious family menu gives you so much more to choose from. Follow them on Facebook for new weekend specials. SP 19 American Kitchen and Bar, where champions are made.
Back on the Sports Showcase from the SP 19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in DeMond, Indiana. Bernie Goen here. And I'd like to wrap some things up here. First, everybody be safe with this Thanksgiving coming up. Don't get too crazy with those deep fryers out there. You hear too many horrible incidents out there. Please, everyone, be careful. We will not have a showcase next Saturday. Let everybody recharge, enjoy the holidays and stuff, enjoy the football team, maybe make a trip to Indy. As I mentioned, on this station, we will have two of the six state finals games. That will be determined this week. So if you can't make it out to Indy, do come on the queue. The queue will have a game next Tuesday. The Kinky Valley Cougars will head to Tri-County to take on the Cavaliers. On our sister station tonight, we have, again, another Tri-County matchup as Tri-County will play host to the Rensselaer Central Bombers on Bear Country. Jeff Marlin, Frank Sprinkle will be doing that game, and then we will come back on the queue the first Tuesday in December for the South Newton Lady Rebels hosting the Frontier Falcons. And again, good luck to the 12 teams that are in the state finals for football down there. Enjoy what should be a good slate of matchups today in the college side. The Penn State Nittany Lions hosting the Ohio State Buckeyes, a matchup that has had a lot to say in the past about who comes into the Final Four. You have Clemson taking a week off this week, and then you got the LSU Tigers hosting the Arkansas Razorbacks. Shouldn't be a great game, but LSU's got to figure some things out there. Alabama, Auburn before the Iron Bowl have a couple of pushover matchups, but still a good slate today. And then tomorrow, while the noon slate isn't great, 3 o'clock, you got the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys. Then on Sunday night, you got the San Francisco 49ers hosting the Green Bay Packers. Monday night, then the Los Angeles Rams play the Baltimore Ravens, which should be a great out-of-conference matchup. And then don't forget, next Thursday, the Chicago Bears, unfortunately, will be hosting the or will be going to the Ford Field to take on the Detroit Lions. So, great matchup there for everyone. Hope everybody has a happy holiday out there. I'd like to thank the staff here at the SP 19 restaurant. Thank my board up, Mr. Scotty Tuhati Miller. Great job as always. He'll get a break from me next week, so I'm sure he'll can't wait for that. And for everyone out there, again, a happy holiday. Be safe. And I'm Bernie Goen here. The next time we cross paths, take care, everyone.
The Sports Showcase here at SP 19 American Kitchen in DeMott is brought to you by Alliance Bank, CR Repair, Emerson Sondergrath, Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances, Reinforcement Design, RMT Transport, State Street Title, Suburban Propane, and of course, SP 19 American Kitchen.